Hi there, Three Song Story listener. In order to keep this podcast free to download, we have to remove the full versions of the songs. But if you go to threesongstories.org or put the WGCU app on your phone, you can listen to the full versions of the recordings just like we did it in studio with the guests. Welcome to Three Song Stories. We are the podcast that creates biography from the songs that have touched our guests' lives. As one of our past guests said, it's like we've discovered a truth serum through music. And what a treat it has been applying it thus far. Thanks for listening. I'm Mike Canary. My guest today is Valerie Alker, a name local listeners to WGCU will remember because she was a longtime reporter and host on our airwaves. Val got started in radio in 1983 as a DJ at WPAS AM 1600 in Zephyr Hills. From there, she moved on to WMNF Community Radio in Tampa, where she often hosted the Women's Show. She then moved over to WUSF, where she was a reporter and newsreader before moving down this way to work at WSFP. So many acronyms, so many call letters. After spending a year or so as a boat bum, self-described. Then once Florida Gulf Coast University was built in the late 90s, WSFP became WGCU, and Val was part of the team that launched it. I had the pleasure of working with her starting in 2003 when I started as an intern, all the way through when I left radio for a while in 2011. She lives in Punta Gorda with her super cool husband, Coop. From what I can tell via Facebook, they pretty much spend their time birding and paddling and traveling to neat places, living the pleasantly retired life. It's quite surreal to be sitting down in the studio with Val again right now, and I know she's got a knack for storytelling and a love for music, and so I know this is going to be fun. Hey there, Val.
Hello, Mike.
It's nice to see you again.
It's lovely to see you again.
Especially here in the studio.
It's like a homecoming.
It's like a homecoming. So, how did you wind up as a DJ on AM radio?
Well, I had done some volunteering at WMNF Community Radio, and I loved it. I loved radio. And I decided, and I was working a full-time job, a day job.
That doing what?
I was a buyer for an office supply company.
Oh, okay. That's surprising.
hey, I know everything about file folder cuts and so on and so forth. But I loved it, and I decided that I would seek full-time work in radio, and I marshaled my forces and made lots of tapes and made resumes and sent them out, and I'm surprised, really, because it only took about 2 months of
Had you studied journalism or broadcasting or anything like that?
No, but, you know, I was an anthropology major in college, and there are a lot of people. If you interview people walking the hallways who come from anthropology backgrounds, because it's – what do? You interview people.
Yeah.
You listen to their stories.
Yeah, that does seem like there's a lot of overlap.
There was quite a bit of overlap. In our newsroom at WUSF in Tampa, Shoshana Elberg, who was there, who went on to work for CNN, she was an anthropology major, and Roger Adams was also an anthropology major. So we were a strong force.
Back when you were DJing, real quick, what was the kind of music what was that station's genre or, you know, playlist?
You want a story. It was an MOR station, middle of the road. Okay. We had, and of course it had changed format several times before I got there, but we had 100 albums, LPs.
Okay.
And we played them in rotation.
Okay.
So, and it was people like Vic Damone. Mm-hmm. Frank Sinatra.
Did you get to pick like a track off of each album, or was it pretty much the tracks were selected for you?
No, the tracks were not selected for me, but the ones I could not play were marked with a red dot.
Gotcha.
For example, on the Barry Manilow album, I could play Mandy, but I could not play Copacabana because that was too rocky.
Oh. Too edgy.
Was told a story that our listeners in Zephyr Hills would not appreciate hearing.
So what was the musical background of your childhood when you were young? What was being played around you when you were a kid?
Well, I listened to a lot of AM radio. I grew up in Stuart, Florida, and I listened to WQAM out of Miami, which was a top 40s radio station.
Okay.
And that's what I liked. I always had the radio on in my bedroom when I was at home and in the car. And
were there records or anything being played? Did your parents
have
a musical taste that influenced you at all?
I remember my dad. You know, he had a lot of Andy Williams LPs. Mm-hmm. My mother was in love with Harry Belafonte. I think she went to see him on Broadway or something in New York back in the 50s or something. And, you know, she liked calypso music and stuff like that. My dad was more middle of the road. I had an older brother who influenced me a lot.
With what? What was his apply to you?
Okay, one of his albums that I listened to, and I have the CD today, was the first Crosby, Stills, and Nash album. Uh-huh. And I loved, James Taylor in high school. I think all the girls were in love with James Taylor. Who else did I really like? Santana.
Mm-hmm. Did you ever make mixtapes?
No.
No?
No.
You weren't a mixtape maker?
No, I was not a mixtape. No.
Did anybody ever give you any kind of a mixtape?
Not until I met my husband.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
And so Coop is a mixtape maker or a mix CD maker, maybe?
Maybe.
How did you wind up over in Tampa? You said you grew up in Stuart. So how did you – what brought you across the state?
College, University of South Florida.
Gotcha. Okay. Mm-hmm. And so let's real quickly explore the boat bum thing.
Oh, that was real quickly. I listened to a lot of BBC radio on the shortwave.
Were you traveling or were you just living on a boat that was parked offshore?
No, I was traveling in the Bahamas.
Ah, and so you were listening to shortwave?
Yes.
BBC.
And it was really interesting. You know, they would have the national broadcast. And then as we do here, you have the locals. Okay, down in the Bahamas, they have like six last names. But every day they read the obituaries. I always found that really rather highly amusing. But, you know, shortwave radio in places like that is especially – this was, what, 30 years ago.
Right.
It was the primary form of people getting their news and information was on the shortwave BBC. And then with the local stations coming in and saying, you know, Mr. Albury passed and his funeral will be and blah, blah, blah.
What was the first music you owned that was your own music that you either chose to purchase or somehow wound up with as your physical, like, this is mine now?
This is mine. I started buying some 45s when I was in high school. I'm trying to remember. Crystal Blue Persuasion, I had that.
I don't know that. Who's that?
Didn't you watch Breaking Bad?
I did watch Breaking Bad.
Crystal Blue Persuasion.
Okay. Was that a song that they played?
Yes, in Breaking Bad, you know, when they're in the factory and they're cranking out all the crystal meth and they're shoving
it
all over.
I heard it, obviously, but I don't think I realized it. So
I didn't buy a lot of music. I didn't buy a
you
lot
weren't
of
like
music.
A,
I was a Radiohead, really.
Right. Yeah, shortwave, AM, these are, yeah.
Yeah, when I would go to my grandparents in New York in the summertime, I was listening to Cousin Brucey. Out of New York City, who was, I don't know if you, and Wolfman Jack, they were very famous DJs.
When was the last time you bought music that had a physical form? Are you still, do you own CDs? Do you stream now? I mean, you know.
We own a lot of CDs and my husband buys most of the music and he probably has every Van Morrison album that was ever
recorded.
Do you
have records at all or is it all CDs?
We just sent a bunch of records, a bunch of LPs to my nephew. And some really nice
So
ones.
You had some still around, but
yeah, and
but
I still have some.
Used.
Yeah, I still have. I pulled out some a few weeks ago. I had an old Syd Barrett, uh-huh. Madcap Laughs, and he had been with who had he been with? Pink Floyd.
Yeah, Pink Floyd.
So I still have a Syd Barrett album, and I think I still have Sticky Fingers somewhere because it has sentimental attachments and stuff like that.
Can you think, if you have to try to dig as far back in your brain as possible, can you think of a really early musical memory? Like
there was a song called Sukiyaki. which was a Japanese language song, which was a big hit on the radio when I think I was about 9 years old, and I really liked it. And my Aunt Joanne, when I was a really little girl, was into music, and I remember staying with her and singing Que Sera, Sera, whatever will be, and there was another one called Sugar in the Morning, and she used to sing to the radio, listen to the radio and sing to the radio, and so I would hang out with her and we would sing to the radio.
Cool. I love how much radio is a part of your life overall, because I've known you as a radio person, you know, but now to see the broader picture. Okay, let's go to your first song.
Okay.
So what is your first song? And if you want to tell a story about it before we listen to it, that's fine. If you want to tell half of a story, you decide how to set this up.
I'll tell you the story really quickly. At WPAS, as we already said, I was quite regimented in what I could play because the station – we were in a trailer in Zephyr Hills. And the station manager's office was right down the hall. He owned it, lock, stock, and barrel, and he was usually in there listening if he wasn't out making sales calls. So we were very regimented in what we could play.
He was monitoring.
Yeah, all day long. And if you made a mistake, you knew it. And I think that's why I really honed my skills there. But there were some carts left over from another format before they switched formats. And it was there were a number of carts that I used to play. For example, using the restroom, it was one by Steely Dan, Deacon Blues, because it was like 6:30 long.
Right, it was a longer one, so you had a moment to yourself.
Yes, yes. Interestingly enough, there you couldn't flush while the on-air light was on because it was a mobile home. And
you would literally hear it.
Yeah. But anyway, there was another one, and I'd seen the film The Last Waltz from the band, and it was the last song from the film, and that was there in cart form, and I would play that because it was the last waltz. Mm-hmm. My air shift was 6 days a week from 2 to 6, and I would play that to end my shift. Oh. It was my swan song WPAS, the last one I ever played. So here it is.
All right. Well, this is The Last Waltz by the band. It's Valerie Alker's first song choice on this episode of Three Song Stories. Band, are you a big fan of the band?
I was a big fan of the band, but I liked it. Was almost like a waltz.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, yeah,
I'm, no. So I liked the piece.
Do you listen to, do you guys like, is that a record or a CD that you have in the house?
No.
No. So
no,
I
pulled it out of my memory.
Yeah. Then. Yeah. Well, that's perfect. So did that take you back? I mean, when was the last time you like really sat down and diligently listened to that?
Probably at WPAS.
Wow.
Yes.
Wow. So that must have been like being back in the trailer.
Yes. Yes.
Do you have a favorite band?
Do I have a favorite band? I still really like Steely Dan.
Yeah.
I was really upset by the passing of Mr. Becker.
So that would be the closest you can get to favorite band, probably.
Gosh, it's really hard to pin down favorites. There's so much music in the world, and so much of it, inspires us and moves us. And
we've asked that question here about 15 times on different episodes, and it's usually one of those two answers. It's there's so much great music out there, or they say the Beatles. Are you a Beatles fan?
I loved the Beatles.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Did you listen to a lot of Beatles?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Concert experiences. Do you have any concert experiences that you immediately leap to your mind as ones that were like?
I think Alice Cooper when he was throwing the dead babies. That was pretty cool.
Oh, wow. Where would that have been?
That would have been at the Civic Center in Ottawa.
Oh, in Ottawa?
Mm-hmm. In Ottawa, Ontario. It's close to...
What were you doing in Ottawa?
Well, my grandparents lived in Alexandria Bay, New York.
Gotcha. So
that's
your northern
90 miles,
life.
Yes.
Gotcha.
Yes.
Did you ever see any cool bands down here, like, in Tampa or here
I
at Civic Center?
I saw the Birds and the Beach Boys. I saw the Grateful Dead. I saw Arlo Guthrie and Pete Seeger one time at Ruth Eckerd Hall. That was a great concert. I saw a lot of bands. I saw... Who's he called? I can't remember right now. The guy with the Ian Anderson. It's Aqualung. Jethro Tull. Uh-huh. Thank you. Uh-huh. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you. I remember that one because it was a blind date and I had a splitting headache.
When was the last time you saw live music?
When was the last time I saw live music? Oh, I saw some nice guitar music recently in Spain. I don't know if that counts.
Yeah, absolutely. When was the last time you saw a proper concert?
Oh, it's been a while.
Been a while?
Yeah.
Is that just not part of your routine?
Well, you know, I actually last week I had a friend who couldn't go to the James Taylor concert up in Tampa, and she offered tickets, and I tried to talk my husband into it, and we didn't go.
Too far.
But you know, it was, I went up to Ruth Eckerd and saw. Boss Gags.
Oh, cool.
And went up to Van Wezel and saw a mostly Mozart symphony a couple of years ago. Hmm. So, yeah, I've seen some stuff.
I have no idea what the answer to this question will be, but have you ever done karaoke?
Yes, once.
Once?
Once.
What did you sing?
I was singing Earl's Gotta Die.
How much alcohol was involved?
I will not answer that question.
Okay. Does Coop ever do karaoke? I think that probably not, right?
No.
Okay. What song do you like to sing along to the most? Like if you're, you know, and does the answer to that question change if you're alone, if there's nobody around? Is there something that you like to just sing when it comes on or if you're just thinking it?
You know, lately I've been listening to a lot of Latin music because I take a Zumba class.
Oh, really?
And our instructor is from Peru, and she plays a lot of Latin music. And I loved Despacito.
Oh, yeah?
What
about so you're Zumba-ing? What about dancing?
Well, it is dancing.
Well, yeah, exactly. But what about dancing while not Zumba-ing? I mean, you know, wedding dancing or out.
The last wedding I went to was my niece's wedding, and it was an Indian wedding.
Oh, wow!
And we had a mendi party, and we danced. We danced to some Indian music. It was like Bollywood.
Oh, wow!
It was kind of fun. Yeah.
Oh, that lot. Do you like dancing?
Yes, I love dancing. I go to Zumba twice a week and dance my heart out.
I can see putting up with it for fitness sake and then maybe not liking
The only reason I'm doing that is because I like to dance and there aren't that many opportunities to do so.
Right.
I used to go out a lot in Tampa with my girlfriends clubbing and stuff like that and dancing. There's a bar in South Tampa. They call it Soho now.
Yeah, yeah.
Which distresses me. But
Tampa St. Pete's changed a lot, I'm sure.
Oh, it has. Yeah. I was up there not too long ago with a friend, and we went to all my old haunts, which no longer existed. But.
Yeah. Is there when you narrowed it down to three, was there a fourth song that almost made it to your list?
I think it was Sukiyaki.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, because it was really the first song I ever remember really being in love with. And even though I didn't know the lyrics, I don't think anyone even – you know, they did a thing on it a couple of years ago on All Things Considered. It was like an anniversary of when it became a hit song, and it was in Japanese. And it was quite a cultural phenomenon when it happened because even little kids like me were listening to it.
Was it a song that was released in Japan and then made it big here, or was it a song that was released here
lyrics? I think it was released in Japan and then released here, and it was just look it up.
Yeah, I will. I'll go find that All Things Considered thing.
Yeah.
Okay, let's move on to song number two. What is your second song choice?
Oh, this is Summertime by not by the Gershwins, but the version by the late, great Janis Joplin.
And do you want to tell a story before or after?
Before, I guess.
Okay.
After leaving WPAS because I was starving to death.
Starving to death because they just didn't pay you?
Correct.
Correct.
They were nice people, though. I went to work another day job, but I just super redoubled my volunteer efforts at WMNF Community Radio, and we
had you were going to make it stick.
Yes, and so I started hosting the women's show, which was on once a week for 2 hours. It was on Saturdays from 10 until noon, and it was a great group of women. And this was a real great group of women who, you know, I had board opped, but I hadn't cut. Taped and edited,
right.
You know.
And you were cutting tape back then.
Yeah, we were cutting
with
tape.
With a razor.
Yeah, yeah, and going out with a cassette recorder and mm-hmm. doing it all by hand. And they really, and you know, I said, well, I'll write the news for you every week. And they said, no, you won't just write the news. You'll read the news. And So
And what was the women's show? Like, break down the format of that for
us. It was from 10 to 12, and we played music. I used to go in on Friday night.
There was, like,
night.
Multiple hosts, and they bantered and played music?
No, there was one host per week.
Oh, okay.
And I did it probably once a month. I was pretty proactive, and basically there was music, and then you would record interviews. I remember for Halloween – interviewing a professor I'd had at USF in women's studies, Dr. Judy Oxhorn, about the Mists of Avalon.
And, oh, yeah?
Which was a book that was pretty popular at that time. And then, you know, we talked about the women as witches and all this kind of stuff. So we would pre-record interviews. And then sometimes people would come into the studio live. And we produced a lot of documentaries. I did one. I bit off this huge chunk. You know, the first documentary I ever did was a half-hour thing on foster parenting.
Wow.
And so it was a mix of music. You know, we pulled sets of music, and people would always ask for requests. I never did. People used to call me, but I always had a vision. You know, I want this piece to segue into this.
Yeah,
piece,
yeah. You were crafting radio.
Yes,
that was your first chance to produce and host and direct and all of it.
Everything. Yeah. I did it all.
Cool.
So it was a lot of fun. So the program went up to noon, which. At noon, it's flipped over to the 60s show hosted by Phil and Bill, Phil Lee and Bill Hamilton, two guys who grew up in Tampa. They'd been at Woodstock together and totally cool guys. I'm still friends with both of them on Facebook.
Cool.
Anyway, so I wanted to do a good segue from the women's show to the 60s show, and so we had.
Oh, so Summertime or the Janis Joplin's cover of Summertime was your pivot to the 60s show.
Correct.
Well, that sounds pretty perfect, actually.
Of course.
Well, let's hear it. This is Janis Joplin's cover of Summertime, originally created by George Gershwin, covered countless times over the years by Billie Holiday, Sam Cooke, etc. You're listening to Three Song Stories. It's biography through music.
Summertime, time, time, child, the living's easy. Fish on. Jumping now, hey, the cotton on, cotton's high. Lots of your dad's
red. That looks like it took you back.
You know, when they would do the fundraiser at WMNF, you know, this is when the phone lines used to light up, and they'd say, "Don't let it up at home, let it up here." It took me back.
You know, the engine of this show is the power that songs have to bring you back to places. And I know you moved into news radio. You weren't playing music all that long. But do you think it ever occurred to you that, you know, playing those songs when you did was having that effect on people? You know, there might be people who heard you play that song that bonded them to that time and place to this very day.
It could be.
Yeah. Isn't it crazy?
Yeah. I really liked playing music. I loved creating really hot segues.
Mm-hmm.
I remember doing a set once for the women's show, All Sisters. I started with the Roach Sisters, and then I went to the Andrews Sisters. And it was just...
Once you wound up being a reporter and a public radio host in the ways that we knew you on WGCU, did you ever miss the radio, the music radio, the community radio, that? Did you ever long for that at all?
Did I long for it? No. I still listened. I still listened. I still supported WMNF until, oh gosh, maybe 10 years ago.
Hmm. Do you have a favorite interview that you did? You did a lot of interviews over the years.
Did. You know, I have a wonderful poster at home that you probably recall from Peter Max.
Oh, yeah. I have one, too.
I did so many cool interviews. I could not possibly. I interviewed Ed Asner one time. What a sweet man he was. I interviewed, it seems like everybody in the world.
Don't I recall that you had a picture up in your office of you interviewing Jane Goodall?
Yes.
What was that like?
She was so cool.
Especially probably for you, the anthropologist turned public radio.
I know it. And she was one of my sheroes, borrowed from the women's show terminology, when I was a little girl. Absolutely.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Is there an album that you can think of that if you put it on, you're going to listen through to every track because you love it that much?
You know, there's a there's an album by Katie Lang that she's with some other people on there, Roy Orbison, and she does a fantastic version of Hallelujah. But I can't think of the name of it right now. But I like really good voices.
Yeah. You know, I'd never actually heard that Janis Joplin cover of Summertime.
Isn't that hot?
That's really, really cool.
Yeah.
I had to look it up. I had to find it when you sent me the name. Instruments. Have you ever played an instrument in your life?
Badly.
Which one?
Cornet.
Is that like a high school band thing or a middle school band thing or something like that? So that was just like part of your schooling and that was that.
Yeah, I didn't, I wouldn't say that, you know, I was a person with a passion for music. In fact, when I got involved with community radio, I was like, well, I buy a book a week. I don't buy an album a week, but I buy a book a week, you know.
Yeah. Still reading that often?
Yeah. In fact, I have to hurry away from here today because I have to go meet with my book group.
Do you have a do you ever listen to books? Is that part of your thing?
I know a lot of people who do, and I probably would like it if I did, but I don't.
You mentioned that you guys have CDs around the house. Do you ever use like the streaming stuff? Do you play Pandora?
Yes, you do use that. Yes.
Do you have you gone – I can't imagine – well, maybe. I don't know these days. Have you gone like Alexa or any of that stuff?
No, I haven't.
Okay.
I should. I finally got Netflix. I love that.
Oh, yeah. Isn't that pretty nice when it's on your TV? So you can just kind of like – I watch a lot of Netflix. Are there any modern bands that you like or follow? Do you ever turn on commercial radio? Is there anybody out there who would be, you know, popular with the kids?
No, I'm so sorry to say.
No, you're not alone.
I'm out of the loop. I'm out of the loop.
How far out of the loop? Completely out of the loop? As far out of the loop as I am? Because I'm way out of the loop.
Yeah, you know, I remember when hip-hop first came out, I compared it to bebop. I said, well, it's kind of similar to bebop, you know, guys standing around on the street corner. But I'm sorry to say I have not. Perhaps if I'd stayed in radio commercial radio where there's music involved, I would be more.
Yeah. Well, and, you know, funny, somebody brought up a song on this show the other day, and it was like the song that everybody's talking about in the world, and I didn't recognize the name of it till he started telling the story, and then I recalled hearing a story on NPR about it. And I was like, oh, I know what you're talking about because I heard somebody talking about it, but I don't recognize the song.
And last summer, you know, when Despacito was the big hit and we were doing it in Zumba, you know, I was like, well... And it's interesting because I've been to South America a couple times in the last couple of years, and some of the Zumba songs, I was in a street market in
Ecuador. Oh, suddenly you hear it.
Ecuador.
And you're like,
I was like,
you're in two places at
once.
Yeah,
I know that. I know the routine for that.
Okay, let's get to your third song because I know you're on a short time schedule here today. So what is the third song that we're going to listen to?
Well, we are going to listen to, and you don't have to listen to all of it, but Paco Bell's Canon. And the story behind that is I decided at some point I had to go back to school and get my master's degree because I was working really hard at WMNF and doing my day job and not being very happy with that. So I decided to go get my master's degree. And the woman who was the news director at WUSF Public Radio was also a fan of the women's show.
Oh.
And she and I knew her slightly, and she said, hey, you know, I really like your work. And I said, well, that's good. And I said, you know, I'll stop by and see you sometime because I'm going to be starting back to USF to get my master's degree. And she said, oh, well, you know, come to work for me part time.
That must have felt pretty good.
It did. It did. It felt good because she liked, you know, she liked
your on-air presence, your work, your choices, the things you were doing caught her attention.
Yes. And by the way, that was Pat Kemp. And today she's a Hillsborough County Commissioner.
Oh, wow.
So shout out to Pat Kemp.
Cool.
Who was really an inspiration to me and really pushed me in ways I needed to be pushed and helped me along the way. But we did – it was called in these days, and this was in the – when was it? I guess it was like in the mid-80s. All Things Considered was on every day from 5 until 6:30.
Mm-hmm.
And Fresh Air came off the satellite at 4
mm-hmm.
until 5. And there was a newscast at the bottom at 4:31 a four-minute newscast.
You still see the clock, don't you?
And so we did what we called the Florida Report. It was a half-hour program we did Monday through Friday. We had a one-minute billboard at the bottom, and then we had a four-minute newscast from NPR. And then we had another 24 minutes to fill. So the program was divided into the first half. The first segment was whatever the breaking news of the day was. Then we had a floating newscast in the middle, which could expand or contract dependent upon what other news was available for the day.
Right.
And I was the chief newscast reader. So I would have specific instructions. You know, you have to sock out at 52.
Right.
So it was like, pay attention. So we always had a music bed too. If we didn't have 24 minutes of material, it's like, well, we'll play a music bed.
Yeah, a little wiggle
going
room.
Going into the bumper music, into the newscast. So, and we were a classical music station. 90.1 FM at that time was all classical except for NPR News. We were, you know, service of University of South Florida.
Right.
So we played mostly stuff from the classical repertoire going into the bumper music, going into the newscast to pad it out to make it be as long. So anyway, the first time I heard Paco Bell's Canon, which, you know, probably other people were more familiar with, but I wasn't. I had on headphones. I was sitting in a soundproof booth like this, and I heard it, and I loved it. It was so pretty that I cranked up my headphones and closed my eyes, which caused a screaming attack from the, because I was supposed to have, you know.
Yeah, you were supposed to be on point.
Yes.
You were supposed to be drifting off to the music.
I know, and I was. I was drifting off to the music. And, oh, this is so pretty and melodic and. Isn't this nice? And I completely forgot about I'm Valerie, you know, and this is the news.
Okay, well, let's hear it. This is Paco Bell's Canon in D. You're listening to Three Song Stories. Are you familiar with – there's a YouTube thing. It's a guy who's playing at a talent show at like New York University, and he shows how the chord progression in that song is used throughout popular music. And it's like song after song after song that you would recognize from the radio over the decades that you immediately realize are that song. Have you ever seen that?
No, but I'll seek it out.
I will send it to you because okay. It's going to blow your mind because it shows you the universality of music, and it's punk songs and it's pop songs and it's really fascinating. It's going to blow your mind.
Well, I'm glad we were able to include it then.
Yes, exactly. So what would be the band that you like that you think our listeners maybe have never heard of? Is there anything that you like that's off the beaten path? Like that you've over the years connected to that when you tell somebody about it, they go, I've never heard of that.
No.
No? No. Maybe some of your Zumba music?
No, I think I've been a fairly mainstream consumer of music throughout my teen and adult life.
Gotcha. Is there any music that you can't stand? If it comes on the radio, you will turn it off as a knee-jerk reaction for whatever reason, either because it's a memory or just the style of music.
Yes.
Anything you could name?
No.
Okay. You don't want to be pejorative.
No.
That's so Val. I love it. What are you reading right now? I know this is a music show, but you talked about books, and so I want to pick your brain about what you're reading these days.
Well, I just read I just finished reading this week. Of course, I'm dating myself because this is a podcast and people will be listening to it like forever, right? But
well, that's okay. We can make a time stamp.
It was a Pulitzer Prize winning biography this year. It's called Prairie Fires, The American Dreams of Laura Ingalls Wilder. And, you know, I was a huge fan of the books when I was a little girl. And so there was a biography. This is what really happened. And it was a very, very good book.
Do you read fiction and nonfiction?
Yes. Yes, I have book group. The book group selection for this month is actually – it's really interesting. It's about journalists, a group of dysfunctional journalists at a newspaper operating in Rome. It's called the Imperfectionists. Does it remind you of anyone? And it's about a newspaper actually at the time when the digital world is about to overtake print journalism and how people are coping with this in various ways or not coping.
Yeah, still sorting that out.
So it was a real good book.
Are you a physical book reader or do you ever use the e-book?
I have both.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
I download a lot of stuff. You know, if you have a Kindle, you can download a lot of stuff that's in the public domain.
Yeah, yeah. And from the library. You ever get them from the library?
You know, it doesn't work with Kindle. It works with Nook, but it doesn't work with Kindle.
Oh, that's a shame.
Yes. At least my particular library doesn't.
Gotcha.
So. But yeah, I'm a volunteer, actually. Shout out to the Punta Gorda Public Library.
Oh, really?
Library.
So you go in like shelf books and sort things out?
I do.
I miss that from my book days.
I wash my hands very carefully before I leave. Yes, I like books. And we also – at the library, there's also a limited collection of music.
Oh, yeah?
Yes.
It's like CDs that people can check out basically.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm. Do you miss being on the air?
Not right now, I don't. Sometimes I do,
yeah.
You know, because it was a facet of me and, you know, I have a group of friends now who don't even know who Valerie Alker is. You know, I'm Val Cooper.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
And so.
Do you miss the deadlines at all? The constant daily deadlines? It's a double-edged sword in a way.
Well,
I'm
actually,
sure
deadlines are quite enervating.
That's what I mean.
And I could bang it out. You know me.
I could
come back from a story and have it on the air in an hour, 3 minutes, boom. So I was really fast. That was, I think, my primary skill as a reporter was like my speed with which I could turn around stories.
Yeah, absolutely. But also it might be nice just to be able to, you know, breathe day
in,
day out.
Well, there is that too. But there's also that huge breath that you take after the story goes on the air. And
that's true.
So
okay. Well, any final thoughts?
Keep on rocking, Mike.
Keep on rocking in the free radio station.
That's right.
All right. Well, thank you very much, Val. It's been great. Valerie Alker's a retired public radio journalist. Her daily here on WGCU. Or should I call you Valerie Cooper? Should I have called you Valerie Cooper this whole time?
No.
Doesn't
it's okay.
sound right to my ear. No offense, Coop. Her daily here on WGCU until about 4 years ago, right?
Yes.
And thanks for doing this. It's been great. Tell Coop I said hi and tell him I got 260,000 miles out of the Jeep before I sold it to someone else for $500.
I will.
All right. This has been fun.
It has. Thanks.
For this week's parting tune, we're going to hear from Tara in Fort Myers.
My song is Party Hard by Andrew WK. And every time I hear this song, it takes me back to when I saw him. And when he played this song, it's a song that kind of gets you in that moment, you know, to party, to have fun, like with a group of people. So the song plays and it just erupts. The whole place, it's kind of a small club as it was anyway. And it just erupts with just that electric energy. And I see like one or two people getting up on stage and he kind of encourages that to a point. So I really want to get up on stage, but the stage height, and I'm right up against it, is pretty much like to my collarbone. I'm trying so hard to get up and pop myself up on the stage, and some like two guys come over, they kind of grab my legs and they push me on there, and I kind of penguin slide onto the stage with Andrew WK, part of his band, and just a couple other people. So we all start dancing and we're on stage, we're singing, and then Andrew WK pulls me over with him, and we start playing keyboard together as I'm singing Party Hard. And I can't play keyboard, I can barely sing, but here I am on stage with Andrew WK singing and playing piano keyboard to Party Hard. So that is my story, and I'm sticking to it.
Yeah.
you have a great song story, one that takes you back to a time, place, and memory. If so, send it to mysongstory@wgcu.org, and maybe we'll use it during a future episode. We record and produce Three Song Stories in the WGCU studios on the campus of Florida Gulf Coast University in Fort Myers, Florida. Richard Chinqui is our show's producer, director, and co-creator. Tarek Alligan is our online content producer. Our executive producer is Chris Duffus. Our theme music was created by Dave Cowan and Stick Martin at Monkey House Studio in St. Pete. Keep listening.
Next time, next time on Three Song Stories.
Молю тебе, я в тишині, почуй мене тепер, я твій.